Okay, small group notes are there for those who need them. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to the last chapter in Revelation, chapter 22. We've come to the end of the end. Well, the final verses of this amazing revelation. Anyone disappointed about that? Fantastic. We're going to read from Revelation chapter 22. From verse 6 to the end. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I'd heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who'd been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and prophets and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong, and let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. It's amazing we've come full circle of chapter 1 and chapter 22 have huge amounts of similarity in its writing. It's as if John is just reminding us much as what's been said in chapter 1. He reminds us that it was him who was identified by name as the witness who heard and saw these things. And it was the revelation made known by sending an angel to show the servants what would soon take place. Both chapters 1 and 22 contain the phrase, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Both contain the phrases, "Blessed are those, blessed is the one who keeps what is written in this book." And of course, right throughout, but in particular chapters 1 and 22, the emphasis is on Jesus coming again. And you can look at that in more detail. But the end of 11 weeks, what are the big things that we have learned? The big things have been many, I'm sure, but these are the things I want to share with you this morning. The first is this, or we should have learned this, that this is a revelation of an awesome God. The whole of Revelation is about God, it's about Jesus. There's lots of other things in it. There's beasts, there's dragons, there's throne rooms, there's all kinds of different stuff, and men on horsebacks and plagues and tragedies and fires and pits and so many different pictures and symbols. But the most important thing about the whole of this revelation is it's a revelation about God. It's a revelation of Jesus, first and foremost. Verse 13, we're reminded, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He was there at the beginning and he is there at the end because he is the A to Z, as it were. He is the beginning. He spoke and things came into being, and he will speak and things will finish. He will call time and a new heaven and a new earth will come. It's a revelation of the one who sits upon the throne, the one who is worthy, the one who holds history in his hands, the one who is in full control of everything that is going on in this life that we live on planet Earth, over the begin from the beginning of time right through to the present day. He is in control. It's a revelation of him. It's a revelation of his love, of his grace, of his mercy, of his judgment. But it's a revelation of his character. That's the most important thing. See, so often we can get lost in all the little side things, but it's about Jesus. It's all about him. And this morning I want to say, have you had that revelation yourself? That personal revelation of who Jesus is. Do you know him? As we thought about last week, are you sure? How sure are you that you're going to be with him for all eternity? So the first thing is, it's a revelation about an awesome God. The second thing that runs right through is that we have a remarkable invitation. I'm sure over the years that many of you have had some amazing invitations in life. Kate once had an invitation from Buckingham Palace to go and have dinner on the lawn or tea on the lawn with Prince Charles, and for some job she'd done for the Prince's Trust. That was a great invitation. I'm sure you've had other ones as quite as exciting. The only palace I've ever been to is Crystal Palace. But whatever invitation you've had, whatever invitation is going to come your way, there is nothing more amazing than this one. The invitation that is extended to all who believe, that to all who thirst for him. An invitation to be with God, to live with God forever in the New Jerusalem. You said yes to that invitation? Because so often we get invitations and they get lost, don't they? They get misplaced, or we just forget them in the business of life. Do not forget this one. This is the most important invitation that we ever receive in this life. The invitation to be with God, to live with him forever in the New Jerusalem. I hope that this book has helped you to say yes to that invitation and to make sure you sent your RSVP back. The third thing about this revelation is this: it's a reminder of the call upon our lives. It reminds us right through the call upon our lives. Firstly, it's a call to worship. It's a call to worship. You see it right through. You see the 24 elders, the four living creatures, the angelic realms. You see so many different people worshiping the one who sits upon the throne, worshiping the Lamb who was slain. And this book reminds us that that's the call upon our lives. And every single one of us, whether we're trusting in Jesus or not, will worship something or somebody. Because it's just made. That's how we're made. It's in us, isn't it? It's in our hearts. We are bent towards giving worship and adoration to something or somebody. And the one who is worthy is the angel says to John as he falls down in front of the angel and begins to worship him. He says, no, don't do it. Even in church, we can worship other things. We can worship the traditions. We can worship the history, even the different people involved. And the angel reminds us that we're not to worship any of that, but our worship is for God alone, the one who is worthy, the one who died for us. It reminds us. This whole revelation. That's the call upon our lives, the call of worship as we live our lives here. It's a call to live a holy life. In verse 14, he reminds us, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. As we were reminded last week, not everyone is going to be there. Not everyone is going to be welcome. And that sounds tough, it sounds harsh, it sounds, you know. But that's how it is. And he warns, there's a word of warning in verse 18. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes the words away from this book of the prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city. That's a word of warning. That although salvation is free, that we are called to live in the light. We're called to live in what Christ has done for us as we make our way home. So there's this call of worship, this call of to live a holy life, which is so, so important. And fourthly, the whole revelation tells us there's a return that is near. There's a return that is near. In verse 7, it says, behold, I am coming soon. In verse 12, behold, I'm coming soon. In verse 20, yes, I'm coming soon. What do you think that means? He's coming soon. Jesus himself states his return is near. But the thing is, this book was written 2,000 years ago. How do we work that one out then? That's the promise. Just turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Help us to remind us to understand what's going on. Jesus himself states, I'm coming soon. My return is near, but 2,000 years have passed. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is what Peter says. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is his coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Peter reminds us that there are those who are going to scoff. This is written, some 30, 40 years or so after Jesus has returned. He's gone, ascended to heaven. And he says, there's some who are just saying, well, where is he? I know Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica, they're concerned about those who were following Jesus who have now died. And they're concerned that somehow they missed being with him because they've died. And Paul has to remind him, no, they're going to be raised from the dead first. They're safe. But Peter says, there'll be scoffers, there'll be those people who say, where is he then? Why the delay? Has he really come? Can we really believe this? He says he's coming soon, but like, that was 2,000 years ago. Peter reminds us, people felt exactly the same in the days of Noah. Remember when Noah was asked by God to build a boat in the middle of a place where there was no water, or no river, no stream? He's told to build this boat. And he starts building, and people are saying, what are you doing? He said, well, God's told me to build a boat because there's a flood coming. And maybe for the first few weeks, they're a bit anxious. But after a few years, after maybe 100 years when Noah's still building the boat, people are just laughing and mocking him. And then the floods came quickly and suddenly. And Peter says it's just the same. In the same way, people will mock and but his coming will be quickly. Secondly, it's also important, dear friends, he says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So really, it's only been 2 days. If you put it like that, in that context. You see, it's hard for us to get our head around, isn't it? But why? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient. He is patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, his heart is for all people. His invitation is for all people, for all mankind, for every tribe, for every tongue. It's for all. His love is for all. His death was for all. He shares all that with all of mankind. It's for all. And he wants each and every person to have that opportunity to respond. In Revelation chapter 7, we see this incredible picture. 7 verse 9. says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. That's why. That's why the delay, as we see it. It's not a delay for him. But his promise is that he's coming. He's coming again. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready? Or are we like the folks in the day of Noah, who just get sidetracked or busy doing other things and we forget who we're worshipping? We forget who's at the center of our lives. At the end, Jesus himself says, yes, I'm coming soon. And then there's this, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Can we really say that? Can we really say that in our heart of hearts? Come, Lord Jesus. If we were to say that, we know that today he would come. Would that be a disappointment? Or would that be an excitement? It would be scary, I'm sure. Because he's going to come in a totally different way than he did the first time. But can we say that in our hearts even today? Can we pray that in our hearts today? Come, Lord Jesus. And really mean it. That we want him to come right now, today. Or is there so much of this life that we are clinging on to? And that actually we desire more? It says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I pray that this wouldn't just be another academic head knowledge study that we've been doing over the last 11 weeks, but actually that we would have found that studying Revelation has revealed to us who Jesus really is. And that we'd see his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion, and that we would receive his invitation. His invitation to live with him forever in his new creation. And that we would, from our heart, be able to pray, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If the band would like to come back.